Boeing's shutting down what used to be its backup plan, its so-called shadow factories. These weren't showrooms or state-of-the-art production floors. They were repair hubs, built in panic mode after years of delays, missed quality checks, and grounded jets piling up. At one point, these facilities were Boeing's way of keeping deliveries alive. Fix the problems off the main line, patch what slipped through, and keep customers somewhat happy. Now, Boeing says those sites are closing. On paper, that sounds like progress, but in reality, it means there's no more safety net. If something goes wrong now, it goes wrong in public. The real question isn't why they're shutting down. It's whether the assembly line upstream is finally stable, or if this just sets up the next round of failures. A shadow factory isn't some vague industry term. It's what Boeing employees actually called the places where broken planes went to get fixed. These were full-blown rework centers, carved out inside facilities like Moses Lake for the 737 MAX and Everett for the 787 Dreamliner. The idea was simple, at least on paper. If the main assembly lines couldn't keep up with inspections, or if jets left the plant with unresolved issues, they'd get routed to these sites. There, crews would go over everything again, systems, wiring, fittings, even structural work. Basically, anything that wasn't signed off in the original build got done here, sometimes months later. But this wasn't just about a few straggler jets needing final touches. These shadow factories became mini assembly lines of their own. They pulled engineers, mechanics, and inspectors from standard production to fix planes that should have been ready the first time, and that only made things worse upstream. The crashes of Lion Air Flight 610 in 2018 and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 in 2019 shook the entire aviation industry. The common thread, a software system called MCAS, which pushed the nose of the 737 MAX down based on faulty sensor input. Pilots weren't properly trained on it. Some didn't even know it existed, and Boeing had buried it deep in the manuals. What followed was one of the longest and most public groundings in modern aviation. The MAX was pulled from service globally, nearly 400 jets parked overnight, with more than 450 still sitting unfinished on Boeing's side. But production didn't stop right away. Boeing kept building. That meant jets were coming off the line with nowhere to go, storage lots filled with aircraft that couldn't legally fly. And by the time the Federal Aviation Administration gave the green light for the MAX to return to service, many of those parked jets were out of date, missing hardware fixes, software updates, or full inspection sign-offs. That's when Moses Lake became a recovery hub. Crews had to go through jet after jet, fixing wiring bundles, updating software, replacing damaged parts, and conducting full test flights. It was never the plan. But with hundreds of grounded planes and billions tied up in inventory, Boeing had no choice but to turn warehouses into hospitals. The 787 Dreamliner was supposed to be Boeing's high-efficiency wide-body champion. But starting in 2020, the program hit a wall. Engineers began finding gaps in the fuselage sections, microscopic misalignments that could lead to long-term fatigue if left untreated. On their own, these weren't catastrophic. But together, they raised serious concerns about structural integrity. The problem wasn't just the gaps. It was how inconsistent the joins were across different jets. Some were built in Charleston, others in Everett. And over time, the inconsistencies started stacking up. Literally. The Federal Aviation Administration told Boeing to hit pause. Deliveries were frozen, inspections ramped up, and the backlog ballooned. By the time the company had a handle on it, more than 100 Dreamliners were stuck in inventory. Some had been sitting for years. One jet, built in 2017 and used as a testbed, wasn't delivered to a customer until 2024, after a full teardown and rebuild. So Boeing did what it had to do, set up a shadow line in Everett. There, engineers stripped jets down, reinforced joins, realigned panels, and recertified the aircraft for delivery. Like the MAX Center in Moses Lake, this was never part of the master plan, but once again, Boeing found itself fixing jets long after they'd left the main line. Of course, all of this didn't happen all at once. After Boeing merged with McDonnell Douglas in the late 90s, the company's priorities slowly started to shift. Engineering still mattered, but not like it used to. What mattered more were delivery numbers, quarterly targets, and keeping Wall Street happy. that shift showed up on the factory floor. Veteran engineers, people who used to have the final say on design tolerances or build quality, found themselves getting overruled by program managers and cost analysts. Speed became the metric, not precision, not durability, just output. By the time the 737 MAX was in full production, the culture had changed. Jets were being assembled faster than ever, but checks and balances were thinning out. Suppliers were under pressure to deliver on tight schedules. Internal audits were streamlined, and instead of pausing the line when something felt off, teams were expected to flag the issue and keep going. That's how mistakes started stacking up. Small ones at first, then bigger ones. And by the time Boeing realized the whole system was stretched too thin, it was already too late. The only way to keep delivering jets was to create a second factory, just to fix the ones that slipped through. The name Sam Mohawk doesn't come up in glossy Boeing presentations, but inside the company, it hit like a brick. He was a quality inspector in Renton, working on the 737 line. And in 2023, he came forward with a report that shook things loose. According to Mohawk, defective parts were being installed and passed along without proper inspection. In some cases, documentation was faked. In others, parts that were supposed to be scrapped were reused. He said the culture encouraged people to look the other way to keep production moving, and when he spoke up, he was sidelined. His report went straight to the Federal Aviation Administration and landed in front of Congress. From that point on, Boeing couldn't just shrug it off as a one-off issue. Regulators started digging deeper. Politicians started asking louder questions. Boeing officially denied wrongdoing, called the accusations inaccurate, and pledged to investigate. But internally, something had already cracked. Engineers who'd kept quiet started speaking out. Quality teams second-guessed what they'd signed off on. And for suppliers, the message was clear: someone's finally watching. By 2024, Boeing's supply chain wasn't just strained, it was fractured. At the center of it all was Spirit AeroSystems, the company responsible for delivering fuselages for the 737 and key structures for the 777 and 787 programs. But those deliveries weren't showing up ready to go. Some were warped, others had gaps. Many needed rework before they were even close to flight ready. The breaking point came in July, when over 6,000 machinists at Spirit walked off the job. 7 weeks later, Boeing's balance sheet was down another $5.5 billion. Production targets collapsed. Delivery schedules had to be rewritten again. And airlines, already fed up, started asking how many more apologies they'd be getting this time around. In the middle of that chaos, Spirit ousted its CEO and installed Kelly Ortberg, the former head of Collins Aerospace. His job? Patch the bleeding, fix the workflows, and get Spirit back in Boeing's good graces. But Ortberg didn't walk into a clean slate. He walked into years of backlog, distrust, and engineering debt, and a parent company in Boeing that was barely keeping its own shop in order. Inside the shadow factories. Moses Lake wasn't supposed to be a repair depot. It turned into one because Boeing ran out of options. By mid-2020, more than 400 brand new 737 MAX-sized jets were stuck in storage, unable to be delivered after the global grounding that followed two deadly crashes. The production lines in Renton kept running, but the skies were closed. So Boeing rented a massive airfield in eastern Washington and turned it into a triage center. Moses Lake became the place where jets went to wait, and wait, and wait. But this wasn't just about updating software or swapping out a few parts. Some jets had misdrilled holes in the fuselage. Others needed replacement bulkheads, new wiring bundles, or complete hydraulic overhauls. Teams had to unseal aircraft that had been sitting in the elements for months, sometimes years, and bring them back to spec, by hand. In early 2025, there were still 55 jets left in the queue. Every one of them needed different fixes. Parts had to be scavenged, and every delivery involved juggling the latest Federal Aviation Administration mandates. By the time a plane left Moses Lake, it had been through two rounds of manufacturing, the original build and the unscheduled, unbudgeted second act. Everett was never meant to fix planes either, but by the time Dreamliner deliveries hit their third major pause, that's exactly what it became. The 787's issue wasn't as visible as the MAX crisis, but it ran just as deep. Engineers discovered tiny gaps where fuselage sections were joined, out of spec by fractions of a millimeter. On paper, small. In practice, a nightmare. These weren't surface-level cosmetic flaws. They impacted the structural integrity of the jet over time. Starting in 2020, Boeing halted deliveries, then restarted, then halted again. Each time, more jets got flagged. At one point, over 120 Dreamliners were parked, waiting for fixes. Everett, once Boeing's pride for wide-body assembly, was repurposed to handle the backlog. The work was slow. Teams had to strip the interior of each jet, brace the body, and remachine structural joins. A single aircraft could take months to clear. To make things worse, war-related sanctions and global shipping delays made it harder to source the materials needed for repairs. Even tools and calibration equipment were affected. By April 20, 2025, Boeing finally cleared the last of the affected 787s through inspection. But the damage, both reputational and financial, was already done. Planes meant to fly in 20 to 21 didn't reach customers until 4 years later, and Everett's production rhythm still hasn't fully recovered. The shadow factories weren't assembly lines, they were triage units. And the work wasn't simple. Each grounded jet came with its own checklist of problems: misaligned panels, unverified fasteners, software glitches, wiring checks. These weren't jobs for new hires or contractors. Boeing had to reassign its most experienced mechanics, people who normally handled final assembly or flight readiness tasks, to spend months undoing and redoing work that should have been right the first time. It wasn't sustainable. Pulling skilled labor off the main line slowed down fresh production. The backlog grew, and quality assurance teams got stretched thin trying to catch up. In internal memos, even Boeing's leadership acknowledged the obvious. Repairing a broken aircraft took more labor hours than building a new one. It became a loop. The faster Boeing tried to push jets off the line, the more fixes were needed. And the more fixes were needed, the fewer workers were available to prevent the next problem. Shadow factories weren't just expensive. They were a symptom of deeper failure. In the official reports, it's listed as rework costs. In practice, it was a massive financial sinkhole. Boeing's 787 program alone racked up more than $6.3 billion in extra expenses, most of it tied directly to inspecting, disassembling, and fixing jets that were already supposed to be finished. These weren't minor fixes. We're talking full fuselage realignments, new shims, structural repairs, all requiring Boeing's most experienced teams. That kind of labor doesn't come cheap. And when hundreds of planes are stuck in rework limbo, the cost climbs fast. Revenue took a hit too. In 20 to 23, Boeing's commercial division posted a 14% drop compared to the year before. Even with travel demand climbing back post-COVID, deliveries couldn't keep pace. Planes weren't moving, customers were frustrated, and cash wasn't flowing. Worse, some carriers demanded compensation for the delays, others renegotiated prices entirely. Boeing wasn't just spending more, it was earning less on each jet that finally made it out. The backlog says it all. Over 5,500 planes still on order, worth an estimated $521 billion. But those numbers don't mean much if you can't get them out the door. Production delays have turned Boeing's delivery schedule into more of a suggestion than a plan. By early 2025, airlines were openly voicing frustration. Southwest Airlines flat out said they wouldn't be receiving the aircraft they were promised this year, and they weren't alone. Boeing's inability to meet targets has rippled across the industry. Carriers relying on new jets for expansion or fleet renewal have been forced to adjust routes, defer retirements, and burn more cash on fuel-hungry older planes. For low-cost operators, where margins are razor-thin, that's a real problem. Meanwhile, dozens of finished jets remain parked, waiting on inspections, paperwork, or replacement parts. Every grounded aircraft is revenue lost and trust eroded. Boeing didn't just miss numbers, they missed expectations. And in this business, that's just as costly. There's no hiding from the scoreboard. In 2024, Airbus delivered 497 aircraft, Boeing just 291. That gap didn't happen quietly. Airline execs, leasing firms, and investors all took note. In a market built on predictability, Boeing looked anything but stable. The numbers aren't just about bragging rights, they shape buying decisions. When one manufacturer consistently shows up late, the other starts looking like a safer bet. That's exactly what we're seeing now. Carriers that were once loyal to Boeing are hedging their bets, Some have started shifting narrowbody orders toward the A320neo family. Others are exploring the A330neo and A350 for long-haul capacity. Even when they don't cancel outright, the message is clear: deliver or we'll go elsewhere. On paper, shutting down the shadow factories looks like progress. Boeing says it's time to get back to normal operations. More workers on the main lines, fewer on repair duty. But the deeper question isn't whether the lights are off. It's whether the problems that made those factories necessary are actually solved. The Federal Aviation Administration hasn't lifted the cap on monthly MAX production. Boeing wants to ramp up. Regulators aren't convinced they're ready. Internally, some workers say not much has changed. The processes might be tighter, but the pressure to hit targets is still there, and shortcuts haven't disappeared entirely. One former inspector called it a fresh coat of paint on the same system. Executives argue this is part of rebuilding trust. Fix the output, reduce the backlog, and prove to airlines and regulators that Boeing can deliver clean jets first try. But without structural reform, this might just be a temporary cleanup, while the wiring underneath stays frayed. Boeing's next big goal is clear: build 38 MAX jets a month by the end of 2025. That's the production target executives keep repeating to analysts, to shareholders, and to the media. The problem? That number depends on something Boeing hasn't consistently done in years: delivering jets that don't need a second round of repair work. With the shadow factories winding down, Boeing is betting that it can get the quality right the first time. No more ferrying jets off to Moses Lake. No more bulkhead rework or wiring inspections weeks after the plane's done. If everything goes to plan, jets roll off the line, go through a standard inspection, and head straight to the customer. But that's a big if. Past targets have slipped, sometimes by quarters, sometimes by years. In 2024 alone, Spirit AeroSystems sent fuselages with misaligned sections, causing yet another ripple through the system. Labor shortages haven't helped, and internal audits still flag occasional documentation lapses. The optimism from leadership sounds familiar. This isn't the first time Boeing has talked about a clean ramp-up, but now there's a hard deadline, and the shadow factories won't be there to catch mistakes. That makes the next few months critical. Either the reworked processes hold, or Boeing risks slipping again. And if they miss this production window, confidence erodes even further. For customers waiting on their jets, and for investors who've already watched Boeing stumble through years of delay, the question isn't just how many planes get built, it's how many show up ready to fly. With the shadow factories shutting down, Boeing suddenly has a valuable resource freed up: skilled workers. And one place that badly needs them is the 777X program. As of early 2025, more than 30 jets were built but undelivered, sitting in storage while the company waits for full certification. The 777X was supposed to be Boeing's next flagship, but delays, design changes, and extra scrutiny from the Federal Aviation Administration have pushed entry into service to late 2026 at the earliest. In the meantime, Boeing's trying to get ahead by finishing as much of the work as possible before the final green light arrives. That's where these workers come in. Technicians who used to handle Dreamliner fixes or MAX backlog repairs might now be reassigned to prep and maintain the stored 777X fleet, inspections, software updates, and minor tweaks to meet evolving safety requirements. Still, this is a slow burn. Certification rules have tightened post-MAX, and the 777X is a new aircraft in the eyes of regulators, not a derivative. Boeing can redeploy its talent pool, but it won't speed up the process much unless the paperwork moves too. And right now, there's no guarantee of that. In the best possible scenario, Boeing catches its breath and keeps it. Internal audits show progress. The Federal Aviation Administration allows a measured ramp-up in production. The 737 MAX stabilizes at around 38 units per month, with a clear path toward 50. Dreamliner output holds steady. And the 777X, after years of fits and starts, finally gets its stamp of approval. If that happens, deliveries start to climb again. Airlines that had been hesitant begin accepting jets on time. Backlogs thin out. And crucially, the cash starts flowing in. Wall Street won't throw a parade, but the pressure eases. Instead of punishing every delay or defect, investors shift to watching quarterly progress. Executives get breathing room to rebuild trust. internally and externally. The supply chain settles down too. Fewer rework jobs mean fewer surprises for suppliers, and machinists spend more time building planes than fixing them. It's not flashy, there's no sudden boom, but it's stable, predictable, and for Boeing, after years of chaos, that would be a welcome change. In the worst case scenario, Boeing moves too fast or learns too little. Planes roll off the line with the same old flaws, but now there's no backup crew in Moses Lake or Everett to quietly patch things up. The rework system is gone, and what's left is a production line that can't hide its defects. Airlines notice, fast. Deliveries show up late. The ones that do arrive sometimes need fixes anyway. Customers like Southwest and Ryanair get louder. They've waited long enough. Then come the regulators. The Federal Aviation Administration steps in again, this time with more teeth. Production caps are enforced. Surprise inspections ramp up. Boeing gets pulled into another public oversight cycle it can't control. Meanwhile, investors start to panic. They thought the company had turned a corner, only to find themselves back at square one. Internally, morale takes another hit. Skilled workers question leadership's priorities. Suppliers brace for more whiplash. There's no scandal, no single moment, just another slow bleed, missed targets, shrinking margins, and airlines quietly shifting more orders to Airbus. In this version of the future, Boeing doesn't crash. It just drifts further from where it used to be. The shutdowns grab attention, but nothing really changes overnight. Boeing still has to prove it can build jets cleanly, at scale, without extra repair loops. And that's not going to happen in a quarter or even a year. Suppliers are still behind. Training pipelines are thin. Every production ramp-up is met with cautious optimism. And then another delay. The Federal Aviation Administration remains deeply involved, signing off on each monthly increase. Wall Street gives Boeing some breathing room, but only for so long. Deliveries trickle out. Revenue inches upward. But it's slower than expected, and margins stay thin. This version doesn't end in flames, but it's exhausting. It's a long rebuild, full of audits, retraining, and system upgrades. Boeing doesn't leap forward. It just survives, hoping each small step eventually adds up to something bigger. For now, that's as much as anyone's willing to bet on. The shadow factories weren't part of the plan. They were the result of missed steps, bad oversight, and decisions that piled up. Shutting them down doesn't mean the problems are solved. It means Boeing is out of room to hide them. This shift puts everything back on the main production lines. No more second chances. No more dedicated rework hubs. If a jet leaves the factory wrong, it's now everyone's problem. Internally, this changes the rhythm. Fewer buffers, more scrutiny. Engineers and mechanics know what's riding on every inspection and test flight. The margin for error just got smaller. Outside the company, people are watching. Airlines, regulators, shareholders. If this move works, it signals progress. If it doesn't, the fallback no longer exists. This is more than a facility closure. This is Boeing saying, "We're done fixing in the dark. Now we find out if the system can actually hold." Don't forget to subscribe for more deep reporting on aviation's turning points, and let us know where you think Boeing goes from here.